morning and welcome to Tallest of Titles, Down Under Dynasty Edition. I'm here as always, at Life from the Ben, and with my co-host, at FF Door, Matt. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well with this special edition of Tallest of Titles. It's extra special because we're talking Devy. We love Devy. So, pretty excited to talk a bit of football, especially with the season just about to kick off. How about you, mate? How are you?
Yeah, really good. Been really busy with work and stuff, so we haven't been able to connect for about a fortnight, but we're here now, ready to talk some Devy Dynasty. I recently finished a Devy startup, so we can touch on that, and we can touch on some of the Devy rosters that we have between the Devy leagues that we're in.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
Sounds like fun. So how would you like to kick off, Matt?
Yeah, look, I think, one question I sort of had in my mind was different approaches to Devy leagues. So for my Devys, I've pretty much done similar, where I've invested a bit of, youth and a bit of Devy and haven't really gone win now. Not that you went full win now in Devy Down Under League, but you didn't draft any Devys in that first year. I still got a, reasonably young side. And you won that league. And then in the most recent one, I think you took three or four Devys and Will Ferrell, you probably got half a dozen. You're a pretty Devy heavy there. So just, I guess, talk us through your different approaches and then, what side you sort of attached to more and, let's get start from there.
Yeah, look, for me, in a Devy, the way I approach the draft is I really just see what other people are doing and then I base my approach off what they're doing. So if people are going Devy heavy and they're going Devy early, I'm not going to go Devy early because I think the value is going to be there with the veterans, right? And you can get good young players at really good values because people get so excited about the Devys and even the rookies. And if I recall correctly, in that must-see TV Devy league, where I won it the first year and I can't remember, I think I got to the third place game the second year. I drafted a lot of players who were going into their second year and guys who had really good years. I think I have AJ Brown in that league. I have DK Metcalf in that league. I got Lamar, I got Kyler. So I had a really good startup draft. I got a bit lucky, I think, to be honest with you.
Being humble. Humble. Your trade was a bit lucky. The trade was good. It was a good trade that you did. Swift for peanuts, I think you got, was the official trade. Can't remember what it was, but you did get Swift on the cheap. So your side's looking good, pretty good this year to go deep again.
Yeah. What's strange is my first two picks in that league, even though I won the championship that first year. Right. My first two picks were Juju Smith-Schuster and Joe Mixon.
Yeah, right.
All right.
On but fire.
But I got Tyreek Hill in round three, I got Kyler Murray in round four. Trevor Lawrence and Jerry Jeudy, for example, they were the first two Devys off the board. This was back in 2019. I think it was 2018. Hang on, I'm just checking. Ports.
I'm bring it up now too.
It was 2019. Sorry, you were correct, sir. Yep.
Never doubt me.
I never do. Never would. So that's really taking advantage of some of the hype there. I mean, Trevor Lawrence going before Kyler Murray. That's insane. Right. And then you've got, DeAndre Swift at 4.08, Tua Tagovailoa at 4.07. Those guys are going at around that in startups today. right now if you did a startup, you know, Tua and Swift are going around the third, fourth round as NFL prospects who are, you know. So people were taking them in the third and fourth round of Devy startups back in 2019. And so for let's I'm just going to field it quickly on some of the wide receivers so taken.
There you go.
In the startup, right? Yep. The first wide receiver taken in this 2019 Devy startup was Laviska Shenault.
Spinksy does love Visca. He was, yeah. I think he had Visca as his number one wide receiver that year coming out.
He wasn't the first wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy went first at 3.01. Rondale Moore at 4.12. Justin Ross, 5.01. Shenault at 5.06. Rieger at 5.11. Some of the wide receivers that went after them, DJ Moore, Kenny Golladay, Tyler Lockett, right? Allen Robinson at 9.10. I got DK Metcalf in this draft at 10.03. I got AJ Brown at 12.03. Yeah. I mean, so you can see why in this draft I opted to fade the Devys. Because there were people who were going extremely Devy heavy. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown went before AJ Brown. Colin Johnson, Henry Ruggs, like all before AJ Brown, who might be the dynasty wide receiver one right now. So, you can see the value that I got with DK and AJ fixing the mistake I made in the startup with Juju Smith-Schuster and Joe Mixon.
So to be fair, I think AJ, everyone was just hating the landing point, right? We just thought back then with the Titans, the landing point sort of killed him. So that's probably why he fell a little bit, but still, yeah, that's you've nailed it on the head. So this league, I think you can only is it 12 or 24 Devys? It's one of those leagues where it's not unlimited Devys. So that I guess that tends to drive the hype a bit. You see these guys going off. And you want your Devys, right? Like that's why we go in Devy leagues. You want your Devys. So unless you're prepared to pivot, if you're gone in with that mind, I'm going to get my guys no matter what. I'm going to reach. I'm going to take them. And you miss your first one, and these Devys start coming off. That's when I think people just sort of jump a little bit. So this is my first ever Devy in 2019. Mm-hmm. I drafted Herbert in the 10th round, I think, which I was pretty happy about. I drafted Etienne in the 5th. I thought he was going to come out that year. He didn't come out, obviously. Stayed in college another year. But, yeah, look, it was fun for me being my first. Didn't go super Devy heavy, but I got, you know, a little bit fortunate with Herbert at the time. I remember Mick in particular was giving me a bit of grief for drafting him, but, you know, worked out well. But, yeah, more luck on my side. So
I was just going to say, part of the reason that drove the aggressiveness in the Devy selection of them going so early in this league was the 24 limit, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I think that really just people, you know, like I said, they saw their guys going. They only had a few available, so they just sort of pulled the trigger. And I think one of the favorite picks from here, I think Brenham drafted Fields pretty late, which was a bit of a steal, might have been a steal of the draft.
I would say Fields is the best Devy pick in the startup. He took Justin Fields at
round 11.
You know what? That's not fair to you. I think your Herbert pick was probably the best startup pick, to be honest.
Because we
know Herbert is an absolute stud. We don't know that about Fields yet. So your Herbert pick would be the best Devy pick of the startup.
I'll take it. I'll take it where I can. There's plenty of bad ones there for me too. So,
but Fields at 11.09, obviously massive, massive value. But if we just focus on the Devys that went really early in the startup, I'm just going to go through, right? Trevor Lawrence at 2.12. Okay, yeah, he's increased in value from where he's going. but where he's going now that he's in startup drafts. And this is a good draft to look back on because a lot of these guys are in the NFL. They either entered this year or last year. So it's a good draft to reflect on. Jerry Jeudy at 3.01. He's now going in the, what, sixth or seventh round of startups now?
Yep.
And he wasn't going in the third round. I don't think he was going in the third round as a rookie. I can't remember. Maybe he was. But he's going in round six or seven now. But he went before Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's insane.
Yep.
Let's look at Tua, 4.07. The most recent draft I did, which was also a Devy startup, I think he went in the fourth round. DeAndre Swift at 4.08, back in 2019, still at Georgia. Yeah, he went. I got him in the fourth round of this Devy startup. Rondale Moore, 4.12. I don't know where he's going. It's definitely not in the fourth round, though.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
Justin Ross, he's still in college. He's had a serious injury. Has to come back. Laviska Shenault went before Lamar Jackson. Shenault and ATN went before Lamar.
Yeah.
You know, that is
madness. But then, you know, Evan Ingram also went before Shenault. OJ Howard was, you know, Kerryon Johnson. So, you know, there are, you know, this happens, I guess, in every draft. But yeah, that is particularly in this setting where there's only a limited number, you're going to see him go early. So maybe that's a bit of strategy to take away is, you know, if you see this, just prepare to pivot. If there's a limited amount of Devys and they start going early, just grab that value.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see where they went. And the Devys that ended up being the value were the ones that really went later. You got Herbert in the 10th round. J.K. Dobbins in the 11th round. Cam Akers, even though he's lost value, went in the 10th round. Right? Najee Harris, round 11. Justin Fields, round 11.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Look at the players taken around them. You know, Mark Ingram was taken just after Herbert and, you know, Boyd. And so, yeah, look, definitely a lot more value. And there's not so much, well, there's nothing really on the board, is there? When you're talking about this 11th round, there's not many.
It doesn't hurt you. But when you take a Jerry Jeudy in round three and you look at some of the players that went after him, I mean, that kills you.
What's he got to be to return that value? You've got to have a Justin Jefferson sort of season, haven't you? And your first,
he can get there. Yeah. He can get there eventually, but I mean, you would have had an opportunity to get him at a lower value. I mean, to buy him at a lower value because his value's lower than round three. Like,
yeah,
and not just that. Even if he gets there, and he could, I really like Jerry Jeudy. Just the players that were still available who we know are good, you know. Like Dalvin Cook went at 3.03, Stephen Diggs, 3.04. Tyreek Hill, 3.10. Yeah. I saw that happening and I pivoted immediately to that year's rookies, 2019 rookies and second year players. And that's where I focused on. And I still have a really good young team because of that. Now I got fortunate. Really with the AJ Brown and DK Metcalf selections. You know, and that's what enabled me to really have such a good team off the back of the startup.
And now you got Swift as well.
I'd say my team's even more loaded. And a couple of veterans that really helped me. Chris Carson really helped me win that league in the first year. And I got him at round 11.
Yep. Just need a good tight end.
Yeah. Miles Sanders was a rookie that year at 8.03. Now, I know he's dipped in value now, but what Miles Sanders' value going into last season was massive.
It's not all about value too, right? We're not purely drafting for value, especially when you've got a win now squad, not a win now squad, but you've got a title, you know, you're a contender. we shouldn't say win now, it's just a contender, right? You're a contender again this year, so sometimes you take the points, right, rather than the value.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to have a look at the wire. Just have a crack at your team, Matt.
It's not bad.
You took Travis Kelce. You got Beckham at 2.05. That one's got to hurt. You got Connor at 3.07. Ouch.
Yeah, look, it was, you know, look, again, looking back, it was, it, you know, hits and misses. This was 2019. Connor was the RB1 there. Thought he was going to have good things, but, you know, didn't turn out that way. But, yeah, still, I got Dak. I got, you know, Herbert. You know, it's a super tight end premium. So I got Kelce, I got Jonnu, I got Etienne, James Robertson. I got James Robertson in this league as well, which I should have sold him, but I didn't. So yeah, you know, pretty happy. I picked up Cooks and Mike Davis because Mr. Perry was sort of going Devy heavy. I think I sold him for a second, maybe a second and a third. Just to, you know, give me a chance to compete. I think you knocked me out of the playoffs, actually. I think I was in a playoff with you for third, yeah. And you knocked me out of the playoffs. So hopefully I can return the favour, mate, but it's not looking so likely with your squad this year.
Yeah, I made a couple of good trades. Thanks, Brandon, for those, mate.
Yeah, look, I saw your trade. I'm like, okay, I'm going to jump. You know, there's blood in the water here. I'm going to jump straight on it. And not that Brandon is, you know, he knows what he's doing, smart cookie. But yeah, just when you see those guys that are going to take that, you know, either win now or youth approach, that's when you want to jump in and get those players before someone else does. Because if you don't do it, someone else is going to do it. So
yeah.
So
we'll pivot to the Will Ferrell Devy League because we're both in that, and my approach in that was a little bit different than the other approach in the other Devy League. This is a Devy League that kicked off last year during COVID. And so what was, how did you approach this Devy League?
Yeah, look, I went pretty young with this league. I'm pretty happy with my squad. It's probably one of my favorite squads. I learned a lot out of my first league. And, you know, I got a pretty good side. You know, Devy picks, I think, you know, I smashed Devy at Fields, got Jamar Chase, got Rattler, Rondell Moore, you know, Kyle Pitts. I got Kyle Pitts in the 15th round. So, you know, and I don't watch hardly any college football, you know, maybe one or two games a year, not some sort of Devy expert or anything. So it just shows you that, you know, you just pay attention a little bit, and there's so much content out there that, you know, in my second Devy, you know, I feel pretty happy with that. I took Pitts, you know, Eric Ebron, Crowder, Tariq Cohen, they were all taken before Pitts. So, yeah, you can get that value. I also took Journey Brown. He's in the 20th round. I think he was something special. I think he would have been a great running back. Obviously, you know, had that heart condition and he's retired from football. So that's just what happens with Devy. You know, you hit on some of them you won't. I think I was pretty fortunate to hit on just about all my guys in this league. And then I went pretty young too, Swift and Taylor, and I think I got Lamar Murray, I got Justin Jefferson. So yeah, pretty happy with this side.
As you should be, you've got a really, really good team here. Really good team. So, I mean, you mentioned you went Devy heavy, but you don't watch a lot of college football. So how did you prepare for the Devy draft?
There's just so much content out there, right? You listen to podcasts. I think Devy Marketplace is a good one. Friend of the show, Shane Hallam and Kane.
That's a great show. People should be watching that show. I mean, listening to that show. Even if you don't play Devy, it's going to give you a leg up in your normal Dynasty rookie drafts, just listening to that show. You don't need to play in Devy to listen to Devy content. Just taking in Devy content will help you in all your Dynasty leagues.
100%. Yep. Ray GQ was another one, listening to his show. And then there's just a lot of free content out there, like 24/7 Sports. If you watch, jump on that page, you can see the prospects, you can see them ranked, see the recruiting class, you can see highlights, you know, and it's free. So, you know, one thing I try to do is I'll see other takes, I'll see who the guys are talking about, and then I want to see it for myself, right? I don't want to just go on what someone says. So I'll grab a bunch of recommendations and then I'll go and look at it myself. And yeah, managed to come off pretty well for me in this league.
Yep. And just to endorse that, I'm the same. You know, we're in Australia. We both work full time. Matt's got a family. I don't have a family. Or I have a family, but I don't have children. I do have family. I didn't spawn from nowhere. But, you know, we're both busy. And we've only really got time to watch NFL. We try to absorb as much NFL as we can. Matt's got sport. College football's on primarily, you know, on the weekends here. He's got to spend time with the kids and that, you know, some time with them. And I don't watch any college football at all. I just go on websites, like Matt said, like 24/7, listen to podcasts, just find the information. Find really smart people, listen to those people, and generally form my own opinions from absorbing as much of that content as I can. And you don't even need to be drafting Devies to play Devy. You can punt Devy completely, and you can trade your picks every year, and you can approach it that way.
Yeah, you often hear people that, you know, they're good fantasy players and they'll say, I don't watch any college ball, you know, I don't want to do Devy. But, you know, just jump in, have some fun. You know, I was the same with RDP. I got an RDP invite first year. I didn't jump in, but the next year I thought I'd give it a try. You know, I love RDP now, I love Devy now. So give it a go. You'll learn a lot. You'll have a lot of fun. And, it's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, In this Will Ferrell league, I went a lot more Devy heavy than in the previous league. And I'm just going to check out my team.
So I think you grabbed one Bijan Robinson, sorry, ahead of Funchess. I mean, Funchess was taken ahead of him, sorry. So Funchess, Jacoby Brissett, Herndon. I think Bijan was like, around 24 or something like that. Ridiculous. It was... Value was great.
My first Devy was at 2.0. I took the Devy 2.06 at 14.09, and the player I took there was, I think, DJ Uiagalelei. But look, I won't go through a pick by pick. But the Devys I came out of in that league were DJ Uiagalelei, Zach Charbonnet, who hasn't done much at all, Breece Hall, who's going to be a really high rookie pick in 2022, Bijan Robinson, who is the Devy RB1 right now, even though he's not coming out till 2023. DJ Uiagalelei is a lot of people's Devy quarterback one. George Pickens, who was a lot of people's wide receiver one before he got hurt. And I knew those names just from doing research, not watching any college football whatsoever. It's the only reason I knew those names. And I was able to, the difference between this league as opposed to the other league, and the reason I was able to get these guys so much later, again, not drafting a Devy until round 14, was because this league, the Devy cap was 50. So the Devys didn't come off the board as aggressively as in the other draft, because there were more of them. So the format of the startup and whether you're having a separate rookie Devy draft or whether the Devys are in the draft with the veterans, the format of that startup is just so important because, as these two drafts demonstrate, the cap on the Devys had a dramatic impact on how aggressively they came off the board.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. And I want to say, just looking at these two, maybe, not in a vacuum, nothing exists in a vacuum, but you look at these two, the smart move is just to take your devies late, because when you're hitting those late devies, there's nothing else on the board. With Funchess, Jacoby Brissett, Eric Ebron, Edelman went like seven rounds earlier than these guys. So it's like, you're not missing value, and every chance that, even if you hit on half of these guys, or even if they have a good year, right, they don't have to come out in a draft, but you can move them on if they have one good year.
Yeah, and unlike the other league where we saw Devies, drafted in round 3, 4, 5, 6, if you miss completely on a player taken in round 14 onwards, it's not going to kill your team.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I've got players on that roster. I mean, look, my team's not great in that league. It's got some work to be done. But I've got guys who will be going really, really early in their dynasty rookie drafts when they roll around next year in 2022 and 2023.
I think one of my favorite trades was also in this league. I was a big Rager fan. I was massive on Rager, and he was on the clock. And someone offered me their pick and Daniel Jones for the pick that was going to be Rager and Stidham. With the pick that I sold, I got Justin Jefferson. So I sold Daniel Jones. Sorry, I got Daniel Jones, Justin Jefferson for Rager and Jarrett Stidham. So, yeah, I love that. So you get lucky sometimes.
You get lucky sometimes. I mean, I think,
Sorry, more lucky sorry. Than- Sorry, Mark Bull. You still, I still heard about that one.
well, bully love Rager. Still does. Still believes.
Yeah, so do I. I still believe in him too. I think he's probably won, 10 trades to my one, but this one was one for my. Chalk this one up to me.
And your team now, I think another year in the oven, and this team's going to be really cooking.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty happy with it. I'm just trying to bring up my 21 squad now. But yeah, running backs are still pretty young. Just give us two ticks and I'll bring it up. So yeah, whoever got, I got Fields, I got Lamar, Daniel Jones, Chase Edmonds, Damien Harris, Swift, Taylor. You've got Chase, Jefferson, Rondell Moore. So, yeah, look, pretty happy with it. Kyle Pitts too. Like the Kyle Pitts. And I've got another bunch of, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other 7 Debbies. Treylon Burks is my wide receiver one. Pretty happy to have him. So, yeah, second ever Debbie, really, and pretty happy with how it's turned out.
Yeah, no, it's a good side. You've still got a lot of incoming talent too.
Yeah, got Rattler, Journey Brown again. You see how big I was on Journey Brown, Treylon Burks, Purdy, Marshawn Lloyd. So yeah, still the youth still coming through.
Yeah. The value really is in taking players, generally it's in taking players who aren't coming out the very next season. The value is in the players who are incoming freshmen and players who, the freshmen from the last year who disappointed, right? If it's in the startup, the freshmen from the last year who disappointed, sometimes they'll go really, really late. Like Kendall Milton, he didn't have a great year. He looked really good when he played, but he didn't play that much last year.
He was injured a bit, wasn't he?
Right. So, I mean, his value has dropped from where it was, but I mean, he's still a 5-star recruit with excellent pedigree.
I picked him up in this league,
Yeah, you did. And I was able to get him a lot later in this latest Devy draft, Devy startup that just finished a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, let's have a look at that. Let's bring that up now.
Yeah, this will be an interesting one to look at because it's the most recent and we can see where some of these players went in respect to their NFL counterparts. So, we have, so the first Devy off the board in this league was Spencer Rattler at 5.05. So later than the first draft we looked at, and later than the other draft, because obviously Spencer Rattler isn't the same kind of prospect as Trevor Lawrence. 5.05. Some of the players who went, I mean, some of the quarterbacks, the first NFL quarterback who went after him was Mac Jones. The first one that went before him was Zach Wilson. You know, so, and then you've got players like Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins. So I think that he went right about where he should have. DJ Uiagalelei, who was the 2023 eligible quarterback prospect, he went at 5.11. Sam Howell at 6.11. 6.03, Bryce Young, who will be starting at Alabama this year at 6.04. So you can see that lifting the lid with Rattler at 5.05 really kind of sent the Devys going thick and fast then. But I think that's probably the appropriate place for them. Some of the other position players taken around Spencer Rattler: Terry McLaurin at 5.06, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 5.07, Dobbins at 5.08, then Bijan Robinson at 5.10 was the first Devy running back gone. He went before DJU. Just trying to find the first Devy wide receiver. It was Kayshon Boutte. So what do you think about where the Devy started coming off the board in this draft, Matt?
I just pulled it up now. So I've just got it. It's Heroes and Villains League. I guess that value, you know, the later that they're coming is that value. So, you know, already Bijan Robinson here is in the fifth round, right, where last year you picked him up in the 23rd, 24th round. But again, some of the younger guys you're taking, the value on the board is you know, it's going to be hard to Spencer Rattler in the fifth round when you got McLaurin, you got Dobbins, you got Etienne, you got Godwin, DJ Moore. You know, I like Spencer Rattler. You know, he's probably going to be the first quarterback taken next year, in my opinion. I know coach hates him, but yeah, again, that value move is. Just to wait on those Devys again.
Would Rattler have been your Devy 101 in this Superflex format?
He's my quarterback 101. I don't know if he's my Devy 101. But he'd be close to it. Out of the, you know, like I probably would have gone Bijan Robinson really, or Uiagalelei, you know, before I went Spencer Rattler. But in the upcoming class, you know, he's going to be the QE1. So you take him here, you know, he gets picked in the first round, gets a good landing spot. You could have, you know, hit gold and then sell that pick for, you know, quicker than you can turn around the other guys. Maybe. Who are you picking first? If you had to pick,
you know? My Devy 101 is DJU. Yeah, in the Superflex format. And then Bijan Robinson at number two. Bijan Robinson at number two.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit biased because I've got some sentimental attachments, but George Pickens is still my wide receiver one, even with that ACL injury. Just love his talent. I think he can still be a superstar. You know, but if I look, I'm just trying to see who I took.
Where did Burks go in this one? Traylon Burks went in the ninth round. That's pretty good value.
My first Devy was Malik Willis, the quarterback from Liberty, in the 10th round. So he's 2022 eligible, getting some hype as a first round pick potentially. So to get him in the 10th round of this startup, I was pretty happy with it. Compared to taking someone, you know, looking in comparison to where Spencer and DJU went.
Definitely, yeah. Look, even if you don't believe in these guys, right? Like, I like Malik, but if the guys are getting the hype, that's what you want. It's probably more important than if you believe in them, really, because these hyper guys are the ones that are going to skyrocket in value, and then who knows what's going to happen. So obviously take the guys you believe in, but that, you know, if you they're sitting between a hyped Devy player or, you know, some Jag, go for the hype.
Yeah, and it's so true. If even if you don't believe in the player yourself, you're going to have, in most instances, you will have an opportunity to flip him for something.
Yep.
Even if it's just another pick and you start again, you know, that's fine as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, so we've looked at three leagues. I took different approaches in all three. You know, no Devy, a lot of Devy, but late, and then just really, I would say that in this league, I just went value Devy. You know, and I took some risks as well. I took CJ Stroud in round 14. Let me just double check. I took CJ Stroud in round 15, and then a week later, Quinn Ewers, who is supposed to be the best quarterback prospect since Vince Young, and the first 1.00 prospect on 24/7 Sports in I don't know how long, longer than I've been playing Dynasty. What did he reclassified from the 2022 class to the 2021 class. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with CJ Stroud? Hopefully he still starts.
It's all in the timing, mate, isn't it? Everything's in the timing.
Yeah. I like Stroud. He was the Elite 11 MVP back in 2019. So, you know, he's got a lot of talent himself, but, you know, anything could happen with any of these guys. Right. It's like a draw, but you know, if he misses round 15, it's certainly not gonna kill me.
Yeah. It's just part of Devy, isn't it?
It is. It's just
it's part of fantasy.
It's part of Devy, part of fantasy.
Look at Andrew Luck, right? Guys that drafted Andrew Luck, like yours truly, and then 2 hours, 3 hours later, he retired. I thought people would, you know, troll with me, and then I looked on Sleeper, and yeah, it was great fun.
I mean, so you know, CJ Stroud could lose his job, or he could win the job, and that team at Ohio State has probably the best weapons in college football. And if he starts for the next 2 years, he's got a great shot of being a high NFL draft pick because he has all the tools. So have to see how that pans out. But I thought this league was probably the most measured in its approach to the Devy aspect of it. A lot of people were both they're really trying to thread the needle in this league between having a good team and getting a few Devys on your roster for later on. So I thought that was really interesting.
I think one league too, I mean, which is with coach, it's a dispersal league, and I'm pretty sure it's unlimited Devys. So just something to keep an eye on too. You know, a first in that unlimited Devy league is going to be a lot different than a Devy first when there's only 24 Devys taken. So yeah, just you know, not every Devy's the same.
No, not at all. And I think to me, From the leagues, the different Devy leagues that I've done, I would say that the limit on the Devys entering the startup and how many can be taken definitely has the biggest impact, probably on the value overall, right? So for example, the league that we looked at first, Brandon's TV Devy League, because that's capped at 24 Devy, and what that means that there can only be 24 college football players on rosters at any one time. So if 12 players declare for the NFL draft, then only 12 players can be drafted as devies. And what that does is it really increases the value of those late first, early second round picks, because the devy limit's going to be reached so quickly. And you can trade like a devy 2.02 or a devy 2.03 and get a really, really good NFL player, or in a package for a really good player, just because that limit is going to be reached so quickly.
Yeah, if you happen just to be on the clock with the last devy two, that's, you're going to get a few offers for it. So something to consider.
Because, yeah, everybody wants to get their guy. Everybody wants to get their devy player. Yeah. Mate, we've gone this whole... We've gone the whole pod, and I haven't done any of the house cleaning chores. So I'm going to have to take a bit of time here and just let everybody know that you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, Toilets and Titles When a Family Breaks, and Spotify. We've also started a Patreon, and there's three tiers. There's $3 per month, which is the Toilets and Titles team group chat, so I'll get you into that. There's the tier two, which is $5 per month. It gets you early access to the waiver wire episodes, entry into the Frankenstank Listener League, and TTT group chat. Now, Frankenstank is full for this year, and that draft will be starting shortly, but that will get you into the league. Now, you still have to pay for your entry, but if you did tier three, you could pay $10 a month. You get one-on-one roster analysis from anybody in the Toilets and Titles family, right? So Matt could help you with your dynasty league, or maybe even your redraft league. Don't ask me to help with your redraft league.
I could hinder you as well, but it's your choice to make.
You get free entry into next year's Frankenstank, T2T group chat, and the guys will be doing an early access waiver wire episode during the season, and it's going to get you that. Now, we're still doing the Trey Lance mini helmet giveaway, and that's to donate a minimum of $2 to the Tim Tebow Foundation. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and email a screenshot of your donation and subscription to toiletsandtitles@gmail.com to be entered. And because I've gone so long, I've got to do them all in one shot, so please forgive me. We've got to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com. Check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to for sports content. So, look, I've gone through all that, and apologies that I didn't do it earlier. But was there any of the other things that you wanted to talk about, Matt? I mean, I can see you've got some notes here on the show sheet. Is there anything on there you wanted to discuss?
Just trades of the week. I think okay. I traded Elijah Moore for a 22 first and a second. Pretty happy with that. I think that's, you know, probably I wouldn't trade him for a single first. So the first and second helped. And then we're talking Devy. I've got an offer now. I'm hoping someone hits accept. I'm giving Baker Mayfield for Jerry Jeudy and a 22 Devy first. So that's out in the pipeline. I'm hoping I hear that. And then just quietly too, Frankenstein has actually kicked off one of the leagues that won the Mario Kart or came last. I'm not sure how it was set up. That's gone live. Trevor Lawrence, 101. Justin Fields at 102 by Evan from EKH Sports. He's got the best voice in podcasting, I think. Very, very... it's like a molasses, lovely voice. But yeah, that's been interesting there. Justin Fields at the 102.
Are you saying my voice doesn't do it for you, mate?
Second best. Didn't I say second? Second best, I think I said.
I think we've got to clarify for the viewers who don't know that the way Frankenstack starts off is that the first round is rookies only.
So Superflex leave.
Yeah. People might be wondering why Justin Fields went at 102. Who went 101?
Lawrence,
yeah. So, it's a redraft league, and we draft the whole league's eligible. But we, just in case you don't know, we start off with the rookies only.
You taking quarterback 1 or 2 if you're
It's
top secret, maybe. Because round four, you have to take a quarterback, right?
Yes, there's one round where you have to take a quarterback. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
It's three or four, and it has to be like a veteran. It can't be a rookie, I think.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like it fades that quarterback value a little bit, because every single roster is going to have a QB by that end of round four.
Yeah, but I look, if you get one of those rookie quarterbacks in the rookie part and they start all year, that's huge. I think that's massive. I think that's a big leg up. Really, if you get a rookie that you could start in your flex, you know, that's massive. Like Najee Harris is going to be a first or second round startup player in redraft, right? He's going to go pretty early in redraft, and you're getting him in this league. If you get him, you know, in your top three picks, and then what's somebody at 110 or 111 or 112 getting?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So
it's a huge advantage to have one of those. I think one of those early picks in the rookie portion of the Frankenstein setup.
Yeah, you want to be at the top. I mean, there's, you know, four or five startable quarterbacks and a couple of running backs there. So if you're the top half of that league, the startup, you're okay. If you're at the second half, good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. And I'm at 109, so I'm not getting anything. I don't think I'm going to get a very good rookie. You know, so we'll see how it goes.
I'm at 105. I'm at 105. So we'll see what happens.
What division has kicked off drafting?
The division is, I think it's the Frankenstein division.
Oh, okay.
Frankenstein has gone first. So, yep, Trevor Lawrence and Fields. So, yeah, mate, good luck at 109. Maybe you'll get a Trey Sermon there.
Maybe. A Trey Sermon. Maybe. I don't know. I'm hoping, I'm hoping maybe one of the quarterbacks people think won't start all year kind of falls to me at 109. And I'll probably take a gamble on that.
Yeah. Well, I think I know who you're talking about there. I won't mention it here, but yeah, it's probably a good pick. But
If it happens, I guess if you
go Sermon, right, then you're pretty much locked into grabbing most a little bit earlier, right? You don't want to. You know, or stealing him, which is not a good look. So, yeah, it impacts your draft in this format.
Yeah, but in this format, you really want to win that week one, you know. But I think that the rule change we've made around not being able to swap a bench player for a starter, unless someone gets cute and thinks they're going to win and starts a scrub on purpose, I think that's going to make it a little bit easier if you lose a player, right, especially in week one. It's gonna make it a bit.
I did lose week one and two last year, and still made the finals. But I got super lucky. It was, I think I was the lowest scoring team in the playoffs. I just sort of limped in there. I think you actually outscored me, but you didn't make the playoffs.
No, I didn't make the playoffs.
You scored more points than me, so.
And I lost to Sean Watson in week one, and then I won Josh Allen. And I went on a tear for like 4 or 5 weeks and had a really good run, but then it all fell down in the end. So, and I lost Josh Allen. He got stolen from me. And
now I need some luck. I got Barkley as well. I drafted Barkley and you know, he was injured as well. So, you know, I'm hoping to get a little bit lucky this year.
Right. Look, yeah, I'm hoping to get some. Look, you need luck every year to win, don't you? You need a little bit of luck, especially in redraft, which is why with Dynasty, we're all skills. Skills pay the bills.
And if you draft Akers in redraft, right, that's it. Forget about it. But in Dynasty, you can pivot, you can hold him, you can sell him, you know, do whatever. But good luck in redraft.
You hear that, Lloydie? You can, even though you took Akers in round three of that startup, you can now trade him for a second round rookie pick, my brother. Second round rookie pick.
So, you're not getting the first.
Not getting the first. Not off me. But yeah, you can take that approach. Love you, bro. But I don't think we can win. We can't leave the Devy episode without you letting everybody know where you took Kyle Pitts in your first Devy and the players who went before him. We can't do it.
Because I think I mentioned
where he's going right now.
I think I mentioned it earlier, but so I took him in pick 178 at the end of the 15th round. The players who went before him, Eric Ebron, Jameson Crowder, Tariq Cohen. And it is in a Devi, heavy league. You get a bonus for your tight end, a tight end bonus league. So was pretty happy with that.
I reckon if we did a tight end premium startup right now, Fitz might be the 101.
he's definitely the tight end, taking first, probably. You know, him Waller or Kittle. So
him, Waller or Kittle. Who's missing from the, you think Kelsey's the fourth tight end now?
Wow. It's not a first. It can't be the first. In value.
True, I guess.
Getting old. We're ageists, mate. Dynasties, we're all ageists.
We are. Anyway, we've occupied enough of the people's time. I think we had one viewer at one point join in. So, all good. Anyway, I think we'll wrap it up and go and enjoy our lockdown lives. I'm in lockdown. You're in lockdown. Your whole state got put in lockdown with the premier of the state letting everybody know via a tweet.
After we got 466 cases, they decided to lock it down properly. Like, don't know why they didn't do it when there was one or two cases in Bondi, but here we are, in a 5 kilometer radius lockdown. It is what it is.
And they think they're going to be all Mickey Mouse to open it up again next week.
Yeah, not happening. It's a vaccine. I think just the vaccine run and get those vaccine rates up, and hopefully, you know, towards the end of the year we can come out of lockdown. But we've got the NFL to occupy us until then, mate, so enjoy that.
Yeah, got to enjoy that preseason football. Yeah. All right, mate. Well, we'll sign off. We'll let you go. I'll let you go. Everybody have a great night.
Thanks, Benny.
Ciao.